Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos Daf Samach Gimel Chei Shir, sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. We're holding about 11 lines from the end of the page on Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis, and the Gemara is talking about the pritzos that was found in Yerushalayim among the young men and the young women, and we're going to discuss what the punishment was at the time of the Churban. We're going to describe the difference between Yerushalayim before the Churban and Yerushalayim after the Churban, and then in the Mishnah on the top of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, we're going to discuss men going out with different weapons on Shabbos, whether they are considered a tachshit, are they considered a masui, and women going out with different legwear on Shabbos, and whether that legwear is mekabel tuma or not. And that's going to lead us into a lot of agadah in the Gemara about learning Torah, about learning bechavrusa, and the value of that. The Gemara is going to have more agadah from Rabbi Abba Amar Reish Lakish, a number of statements that are made by Rabbi Abba Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, or different Amarayim in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. And then on Amud Beis, or really starting on the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to talk about dogs and raising dogs in one's house, dog ownership. The Gemara is then going to talk about identifying the different legwear that the Mishnah spoke about the women wearing, and then at the end of the daf we're going to derive a specific halacha in the laws of Tumah and Tahara from the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol. So again, we are 11 lines from the end of the page on Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis. My Peronuseihem is the words that we are up to. So the Gemara explains the punishment for the Benos Tzion that's described in the Pasuk. The Pasuk described that we said yesterday what the Benos Tzion did wrong, how they would be provocative and flirtatious. So the Gemara, the Pasuk describes that Vahaya Tachas Bosem Mak Yihya Vitachas Chagora Nikva Vitachas Masa Miksha Korcha Vitachas Psigal Machkora Sak Kitachas Yofi. So the Gemara is going to describe what each phrase in that Pasuk means. So my pronosem Kidorish Rabba Barula Vahaya Tachas Bosem Mak Yihya, that means Makum Shayim is Basmosbo, the place where they would adorn themselves with or make themselves smell nice. Nas and numakim, it became rotted out and melted. That himak bisara, that something becomes decomposed. Vitachas chagora nikva, what does that mean? Makum shayu chagurus betzaltzal, where they would put on these nice belts and chains. Nas and nekafim, they were filled with injury, with wounds. Vitachas mas and miksha korcha, what does that mean? Makum shayu miskashtospo, the place where they would make their hair look nice, and they would comb their hair and make it look special. Nasa krachim krachim will become a bunch of bald spots and will therefore be very unattractive. V'tachas psigil machgores sak. What does that mean? Psachim amavin lidei gila yil machgores sak. The very area of their body that they exposed for gilui arayos is instead going to be wearing sackcloth in mourning. Ki tachas yofi, because all of these things, all of these terrible things, are going to come instead of beauty that they were so proud of. It's going to instead turn into something very negative. That's what people say, a mashal, that the beauty is switched out for pus filled boils and pimples. This teaches us that they had saras. Ksiv hasa visipach uksiv hasam seis ulusapach la seis ulusapachas. By the different maros negoyim, it describes it as sapachas. So you see, when we say sipach benos tzion, it must mean that the benos tzion had saras as well. That was also part of the punishment. Says the Gemara further, vashem pasan ya'ara. So pasan is lashon pischehen. Rav Shmuel Chad Amar Shnishbuchu Kikiton, that it's a lashon of pouring out. So Ya'ara is a lashon of pouring out, so that their Demei Ziva, the blood flowed out of them like a vessel that's full of water that's just pouring, gushing out. V'Chad Amar, and some say it's a lashon of Ya'ar, of like a forest. Shenasu Pischei and Kiyar, that their body openings were so full of hair, it was like a forest, and therefore became more challenging for them to be able to have Tashmish Amita. So now we're going to discuss the sins of the Anshei Yerushalayim at the time of the Churban. Amar Avidom Rav, Anshei Yerushalayim, Anshei Shachat Hayu. The people of Yerushalayim were arrogant and disgusting people. They would speak in a way that involved tremendous nivel peh, in the sense that they would speak about things that are inappropriate to speak to speak about. So Adam Omer L'Chavero, Bames Adta Yom. One person would say to his friend, what did you eat today? But it's a melitza. He didn't really mean eat. The Gemara is soon going to say, he means, what did you have Tashmish Hamita with today? Bepasa Melo, Bepasha Eina Amela. Was it dough that was well needed, or was it dough that was not well needed? But that really means, did you have Tashmish with a Bu'ula or a Besula? Biyain Gordeli, with white wine, or Biyain Chardeli, or with blacker wine? And what he really meant is, what was the complexion of the woman with whom you slept today? Mesav Rachav of a Mesav Katzer. Did you sit on a wide chair or a narrow chair? But he really meant, what was the body type of the woman? Bechaver Tov or Bechaver Ra? Was it a, did you have a lunch with a good friend or a bad friend? And he really meant, a good looking woman or not such a good looking woman? Amrav Chistav Kulon Liznus. Every line that they said was Liznus. Every line that they said was meant to indicate Znus. So there was terrible nivel peh in the way that they spoke to speak about such things. To speak in such a crass way is thoroughly un-Jewish, and that is considered a terrible form of nivel peh. Amar Rachba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Atzei Yerushalayim, the firewood of Yerushalayim shall kinamon hayu. They used to have firewood that was made out of cinnamon. B'shar shayu masikin ben, when they would light fires, Recha Nodiv Chaler Tzol had this delicious smell. It was like walking outside of a bakery when they were lighting fires for warmth and for light. U'mishacharvi Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim was destroyed, Nignazu. That type of firewood that had that sweet aroma was hidden away with the Mishtayer El Kasaora. And all we're left with is a tiny little piece. And it's in the storehouses, it's in the warehouse of Tzimtzumai Hamalka. That's the only person that has this this firewood left. The Marsha tries to identify exactly who this person was. The Marsha says that it's not the name of Amalka, it's a Lashon of Kishut, and it means that this eitz is in the Otsar Melucha, that it's the kind of thing that only a melech would use nowadays, and that's what they had available readily in Yerushalayim before the time of the Churban. Okay, new Mishnah now. Lo yetzi ish, lo besayif, lo bekeshes, lo betris, lo ba'olav, lo Romach. A man cannot go out with any sorts of weapons, with his sword and with his bow and arrow, with his shield and with his Allah. And we're going to have to see, the Gemara is going to have to explain what that is, and nor with his spear. He's not allowed to go out with any of these items. V'im yatzan, if he goes out with them, chayiv chatos. It's chayiv chatos, meaning this is an issa d'oraisa for him to walk outside with these items. Rabbi Lazar Omer, tachshitin ein lo. No, whatever weapons he wears are considered a tachshit, and therefore he's not going to be chayiv. Like anyone who goes out with a tachshit is not going to be chayiv. So here also, if a person, even though obviously if you carry a tachshit, you're chayiv, but that's only if you carry a tachshit that's supposed to be worn. But if it's a tachshit to carry something, so then it's not. Then even carrying it is not going to be an issue. The Chum Omrim Enuel L'Gnayim. The Chum say that no, that the Chum who are the Tanakama, Tosiyantov points out, it's just that they're going back to explain what they meant. Why do they hold it's not a tachshit? Because it's a kenai. It's unbecoming. It's not nice to have weapons. Shenemar v'kitzu charbosam liitim chagusem lemazmeros v'lo yisagoyel goy chere v'lo yilmedu od milchama. That loss of love, we're going to destroy all the clay milchama, and instead we're going to turn them into clay adama, into clay avodas adama. We're going to turn them into farming implements, because at that time we're not going to have any wars anymore. We're not going to need to learn the ways of milchama. So if clay milchama are tachshit, then why would we destroy all of them? If they make it look nice, they make the person look dignified, we shouldn't destroy it. Keep it around as a nice tachshit. So that's how you know that it's not a tachshit. It's considered something that's unfortunate that we need to even have these things. Now, that's as far as a man is concerned. Now we're going to discuss certain things that women have. Biris, tahora v'yotzim b'shabbos. A certain type of legwear that women would wear is tahor, it's not mekabel tuma, and she's allowed to wear it on Shabbos. You're not choshesh that she might take it off to show it to somebody else, and then she'll carry it for amos, because if she were to take it off in public, it would be megala shoka, it would be megala parts of her body, the shoka of her body, which is something that she does not want to expose, and therefore there's no concern she's going to take it off in public. Kivalim, a different type of legwear, Temeim vein yotzim mem b'Shabbos. They're mekabel tuma, and she cannot go out with them on Shabbos. So again, the Gemara is going to describe what these bits of legware are and what the difference is between them. My ba'ala, so what do we mean in the Mishnah when we said that that one of the clay milchama that we spoke about a man going out with is an Allah, so kulfa. It means this stick that has like a big iron ball at the end of it that they would use as a, there's got to be an English word for that, but that they would use as a weapon to strike somebody. Rabbi Elazar Omer Tachshit Inein Lo, and Rabbi Eliezer said, all of these things are a tachshit. It's not a gnai. And the Chum said, no, it's a gnai because Las Lover, we're not going to need any of these weapons. So Tanya, Omer Lo, Rabbi Eliezer, the Chachamim said to Rabbi Eliezer, "V'chimeachad tachshitin in lomim ma'hein b'teilin limosa Mashiach. If they're really a tachshit, how do you touch up the pasuk? The pasuk says they're not going to be around in limosa Mashiach. So I'm learning the and tzrichin because then we're not going to need them anymore, and that's why they'll no longer be a tachshit. Shenemar lo yisa goy el goy cherev. There's not going to be any wars anymore. V'tavi linoi bi'alma. So why don't you use them as because of that, so they, the Gemara asks, why can't they still be used as something nice and decorative? Amrabai midadavar shraga b'tiara. No, it's like a candle in broad daylight. That if you light a candle in broad daylight, it's useless. You only need a candle when it's dark outside. So too, clay milchama are only considered something that's dignified or something that's important or something that makes a person look chashuv if it's a time that where there is milchama. So that's when it's a takshit. But lasalava, they don't mean anything. It's a candle in broad daylight, in the sense that it's choser mashmaus, it means nothing. So that's what it means, l'fi shein and tzrichin, that since you don't need them, and they don't even serve as a tachshit. That expression of shraga b'tiara is something that we use a lot, meaning we describe that. That's what the poskim discuss, whether there's any kiyum nowadays of if a woman, let's say, has the electric lights on the whole Shabbos already lit from before Shabbos, and then she just goes and she lights candles for Shabbos without turning on the electric lights. L'kavod Shabbos, having in mind that it should be L'kavod Shabbos. Did she really do anything? Is that a mitzvah at all? Because what did she really add to the room? There's no extra light that she added to the room. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to recommend, and Rav Shechter always recommends, that when a woman lights candles, she should first shut off the electric light in the room, turn on the electric light L'kavod Shabbos, then light the candles also L'kavod Shabbos, and then say the bracha, and the bracha should go on everything, on all of the light that was added into the room. And that is certainly L'chadchila, the best way to go. There are poskim, however, that suggest that even if she doesn't do that, it's still a kiyum mitzvah. Rav Asher Weiss explains, and others as well, Tzitz Eliezer writes, that since Shabbos candles have become such a symbol of what a Jewish Shabbos table looks like, so it adds a certain ambiance of Shabbos. It adds a certain sense and feeling of Shabbos, and because of that, it's considered a kiyum mitzvah of lighting Shabbos candles, even though it's a shraga b'tiara, even though it's a candle in broad daylight. But certainly the better thing to do is to light the electric light and the Shabbos candles, L'kavod Shabbos. Now, Kamina between the two is what happens in Yom Tov Sheni, right? Shavuos coming up. What happens in Yom Tov Sheni? So Yom Tov Sheni, you can't turn off the light in the room and turn it back on because you're not allowed to turn on the lights on Yom Tov. So you can only light candles. So do you say a bracha on that? Is that, or can you even do that? Is it Chil Yom Tov? Because there's no tzorech whatsoever. So Rav Shechter actually would say no, not to light candles in Yom Tov Sheni because it's Shraga B'tira. So what are you accomplishing? Whereas Rav Asher Weiss, and I think the majority of poskim, would suggest that you do light candles on Yom Tov Sheni because it at least does add that element of an ambiance of Shabbos and Yom Tov. But generally speaking, Shraga B'tiara Mayahani, we do have this concept that a candle in broad daylight doesn't do anything. Okay, so we had said that Lasa Lavo, there's not going to be any Milchamos anymore, and the Pasuk is talking about Yimosa Mashiach, right? So that idea, that whether it's talking about Yimosa Mashiach or not, is actually a Machlokas. Meaning all of these things that the Nevi'im describe that are going to be wonderful, is it describing Yimosa Mashiach, or is it describing the Zman of Tchias HaMesim, what we call Olam Haba? So says Mara Pliga de Shmuel, this Brisa is in disagreement with Shmuel. Damar Shmuel, Ein Bein Olam Hazeh Limos HaMashiach El Shibul Golios Bavad, that the only difference between Olam Hazeh and Yimos HaMashiach is that the Bnei Yisrael are no longer going to be subject to foreign rule, but all of the normal, natural way of living, there's still going to be rich and poor, and there's still going to be people who have to work, and there's still going to be all of the everything else, society's going to function as normal. Shenemar Kiloyach Tal Evyon Mikerav, meaning as normal, except that there's not going to be be anti-Semitism. Whoa, so that's not normal at all. That's never happened in all of history. But that everything else is gonna be normal, other than the lack of anti-Semitism. Everything else is gonna be absolutely normal. Shenemar, because the pasuk says in Chumash, ki lo yachdal evyon mikerev haaretz, that there will always be poor people in the world. So there's always gonna be anius vashirus, and the Nevi'im, when they describe that that there's not going to be an ani anymore, the Navi in Zechariah describes, that means that there's not going to be poverty in the time period that the Navi's describing. So isn't it a stira? So no, the Navi's describing Olam Haba, whereas the Chumash is describing, when it says that Lo Yachdal Evyon Mikerev Haaretz, is describing Yemos HaMashiach. That all the Nevi'im, when they describe the Nechamos that they're describing, is for Yemos HaMashiach. But what's going to be that even the Nevi'im couldn't imagine. No one was able to imagine such a thing. So that's the stira over here. That's the machlokas over here. What is going to? What are these psukim in Navi describing? Are they describing Yemos HaMashiach, or are they describing Olam Haba? If you hold that describing Yemos HaMashiach, it's because nobody could get a picture of what Olam Haba would look like. Not even the Nevi'im. Another version of this conversation is that they said to Rabbi Eliezer, if these are all tachshitin, why won't they exist in Yemos HaMashiach, these weapons? They're not even going to be batel in Yemos HaMashiach. They're only going to be batel in Olam Haba. So now, hainu de Shmuel. Now Rabbi Eliezer is not against Shmuel, he's mamish exactly like Shmuel. Upliga de Rabbi Chiya Baraba. And he's going against Rabbi Chiya Baraba. So those are the two versions. Is Rabbi Eliezer saying, like Rabbi Chiya Baraba against Shmuel, that was the first version, or this version that he's going exactly like Shmuel, that Yemos HaMashiach, these items will still exist, because there will still be a need for natural life in Yemos HaMashiach, and against Rabbi Chiya Baraba, who says, oh, all the Nevuos of the Nevi'im, of Lius HaGoyal Goy Cherev, are about Yemos HaMashiach, and therefore these items will no longer exist. Amle Abai L'Rav Dimi V'Amri Lo L'Rav Avya V'Amri Lo Rav Yosef L'Rav Dimi V'Amri Lo L'Rav Avya. So somebody said to somebody, either Abaye or Rav Yosef said to either Rav Dimi or Rav Avya, V'Amri Lo Abai L'Rav Yosef, and some say that it was Abaye that said it to Rav Yosef, his Rebbe, my time at the Rabbi Eliezer Domer Tachshitin Ein Lo, why, what's the svar for Rabbi Eliezer to consider weapons Tachshitin, Tichsiv, because the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Chagor Charbucha Al Yarech, Gibor Hodcha V'Hadorecha, that it describes the cherev of a gibor as something that's Hodcha V'Hadorecha, that it's Hod V'Hador, it's a beauty. Amar Le Rav Kahana L'mar Brei D'Ravuna Haybi Divrei Torah K'siv. No, that's Pasuk is speaking allegorically, that a person should be careful to chazer over his learning to make sure he remembers it well, so that he'll be able to always use it to bring rayas from in other sugyas, like a gibor that always has his sword handy. He always has it within reach, so you should always have all the Torah that you learned within reach of you. So Amalei, so Mabre de Rav Huna said to Rav Kahana, you're right, primarily we should darshan that pasuk to be talking about Talmud Torah, but ein mikra yotze midei pshuto, but the pasuk shot of the pasuk has to be correct as well, and the pasuk shot of the pasuk is talking about actual weapons, and therefore that's got to be correct as well, that actual weapons should be handy as well. So and our sense of beauty, our sense of glory. Amar Rav Kahana, Kadavina Bar Tam Nisrei Shnin. He says, when I was 18 years old, Vav Gemira Le Lekulei Hashas, and I had learned the entirety of Shas. So V'lo Avi Yadana Dein Mikri Yotze Midei Pshuto Ad Hashta. And even so, I still didn't know this rule of Ein Mikri Yotze Midei Pshuto until now. This idea is such a klal gadol b'Torah that it's so difficult to explain. So many things in the Torah, I wouldn't have known this until now. But so the Maariv Chai says, how could you learn all of Shas and not know Ein Mikra Yotze Midei Pshuto? It's impossible. He says, no, he thought that this klal only related to dinim and halachos, or to ikare Torah, but divrei melitza and shir, things where the drash is obviously the ikar, that's where he thought that we don't apply Ein Mikra Yotze Midei Pshuto. Meaning there are certain psukim where it's clear that the pashup shot is the ikar, and that's what it's primarily halacha sefer that we're learning when we learn Chumash. But then there are other things where the where it seems that the drash is the ikar, and that's what he was unaware, that you have to look at the pasha pshat as well. What's he telling us? Meaning, why does he have to tell us, I learned all the shas by the time I was 18 years old? Because of person, because that's the proper path, and a person should first learn a lot of bekiyas. He should learn a lot of mishnayos and brises, even though he doesn't necessarily understand them perfectly well, and only afterwards look for the svaros to be able to understand them well. Because up until that point, he didn't understand what Rabbi Eliezer was saying, and he already knew all of the sugyas in shas. So that's the right thing to do. That's what the Gemara says in Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Yutes, that lo milamid adam Torah miraba achte girsas Shgura b'fiv va'achar kach yege, that you should first learn till everything is fluent, and then really analyze in greater depth. Because very often, if you don't know what it says, you just don't know what the, you know, you could learn the first Mishnah and the Masechta and go with Iyun Rav into the Mishnah, but half of the Svaras that you're saying are against the second Mishnah and the Masechta. So if you don't know what the Masechta has to say, so you're gonna waste a lot of time, and you're gonna say a lot of things that are simply untrue. So it's important to have to have a broad sense. It doesn't mean that if a person doesn't even understand anything that he's reading, that he's just reading Hebrew words and he doesn't even speak Hebrew, so he's reading Mishnayos and he just doesn't even know what the words mean, it doesn't mean that that's a kiyum of Talmud Torah. That the Shulchan Aruch Harav writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, that is not a kiyum of Talmud Torah. A person has to at least understand the basic level of what he's saying. That's what the Magen Avraham writes on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, that when we try to fulfill Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud, getting a little bit of Mikra and Mishnah and Talmud, so we say the Mishnayos of Ezu Mekoman every single morning. If you're just saying those Mishnayos and not understanding those Mishnayos, they're not so hard to understand. But if you're just saying those Mishnayos and not understanding those Mishnayos, it is not a fulfillment of Limud HaMishnah, which is it was meant to do. So better off skip it. I mean, you might as well skip it. Not better off, it doesn't make a difference. You might as well skip it if you're not going to understand it at all. That's true when it comes to Mishnah. That may not be true when it comes to Mikra. When it comes to learning Chumash in particular, the Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points out in his introduction to Emes Yaakov that even just the reading alone may be a fulfillment of Talmud Torah. Just reading the words, meaning if a person, let's say, has nothing to do and he doesn't know how to learn, but there's a Chumash there, so is there any value in him just opening the Chumash and reading the words? He knows how to read Hebrew, he won't understand a word of it. So yeah, there is value. That is, in fact, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky suggests, that's why we do Shnayim Mikra, V'yecha Targum. That one time we do Mikra just to show that just reading is also valuable, and then the second time we read with translation to show that there's a higher level of Talmud Torah, demonstrating a higher level of Talmud Torah when we understand it. But with Mishnayos, if you just read, or Gemara, if you just read it and have zero understanding, then that's nothing. But to delve deeply, that should only come after a person has a broad base of knowledge. Okay, Simin Zarus. We're more I got it to Gemara, and the Simin is Zarus. The Achronim are not sure what in the world this Simin means, but let's see the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Shnei Talmidei Chachamim Mechadin Zeh LeZeh BaHalacha. If you have two Talmidei Chachamim that sharpen each other in learning Halacha, Kodesh Baruch Hu Matzliach Lehem, Hashem is going to give them great Hatzlacha. Shneimar V'Hadarcha Tzlach, Al Tikri V'Hadarcha Ela V'Chadudecha, that they're Mechaded each other, that they sharpen each other. V'Lo Od Ela Sha'olim L'Gdula, they also rise to positions of prominence. Shneimar Tzlach Rechav, that Rechiva is Merames to a sense of Gdula. We find by Yosef, by Arkevos of Markevis HaMishnah Sharlow, and by Yukul of Avrech, and he gave him to Kol Eretz Mitzrayim. So you say, or by Yerkeveir Berchov Ha'ir in Megillas Esther, by Yukul of Kachi Yasalish Asher HaMelech HaFetz Bikaro, that Rechav is the Lashon of being raised to a position of prominence. But it doesn't start with a position of prominence. It starts with being Mechadid Zel Zeb HaLach, with just sincerely learning Torah, quietly, without any fanfare, and then ultimately a person gets to a position of prominence. I was very moved by the story they told. Rav Nachum Rabinovich just passed away this week. He was a major Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, but before that, he was a Rav in Toronto. He was Rav Yaakov Neuberger's family Rav growing up in Toronto, and he was a Rav before that in Charleston, South Carolina. And he was an Adam Gadol Ad Ma'od. He was a very close Talmud of Rav Ruderman. His wife was Rav Ruderman's niece, a Talmud in Eretz Yisrael, and someone said to him. Someone saw him when he was in Charleston and saw that he was teaching Aleph Beis. He was teaching an Aleph Beis class. And they said, that's an Adam Gadol like you, a Talmud Chacham like you, you're teaching Aleph Beis. He said, you might think it's beneath me, but it's Torah Semes. And if a person teaches Torah Semes, then Torah Semes can make a revolution. It starts with just simple Torah Semes. As long as you know that you're teaching Torah Semes, that could change everything. It could change the whole world. So when a person's personal stature also, you could start with something very simple. You just sit there quietly learning Torah. Ultimately, it's all the gedula. Yachla filu shelo lishma. You might think that that works even if you're doing it shelo lishma. Tamalomar al dvar emes. No, it's only if you're doing it al dvar emes. But if you're learning Torah with the plans of, oh, this will make me a great Rosh Yeshiva, then it doesn't work. Yachlim heges daita. You might think that if a person takes pride and gaiva in his limud, that it also works. So tamalomar va'anova tzedek. That va'anova, that one of the simanim of gedolei Torah is a sense of anivus. V'imos and kain. If you do that l'shem shemayim, zochel. The Torah shenitni b'yamin. You're going to be zochet to Torah, which was given with the right hand. Shenemar v'sorcha naros yimin echad. The Torah was given with the right hand. So Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Amar Zochel LeDvarim Shenemar b'yamina shel Torah, that you'll be zochet to that which is said b'yamina shel Torah. What does that mean? Amar Rav Bar Shila v'Amri Lam Rav Yosef Bar Chama Rav Sheshes Ma'idichsev Orech Yamim b'yamina. That Orech Yamim Arichus Yamim is on the right side. B'smola Osher v'Chavod. That it can't be that it's Kipshuto that there's only Arichus Yamim b'yamin and not Osher v'Chavod. So El b'yamina Orech Yamim Ika Osher v'Chavod Leka. What is there only Orech Yamim and not Osher v'Chavod? If a person has Orech Yamim, you would think he's blessed for sure with Osher v'Chavod. El Maiminin, but to those who are very careful to understand Torah very well, to work hard at learning Torah, so it's like they're using their strong hand, their right hand, in learning Torah, Orech Yamim Ika v'Kol Shkein Osher v'Chavod. You'll have Orech Yamim, and then obviously the lesser blessing of Osher v'Chavod, because as it is in Yana Diyoma, when you have to figure out which is the more important blessing to have, Osher v'Chavod or Arich Yamim, we're actually living, so Arichas Yamim takes precedence over Osher V'Chavod. Not that Osher V'Chavod is a nothing, but Arichas Yamim takes precedence over Osher V'Chavod, of course. L'mas mi'ilim ba, Osher V'Chavod ika, Orech Yamim leka. People who do not put in the necessary effort in learning Torah, they'll have Osher V'Chavod, but they're not going to have Arichas Yamim. Am Rabbi Yemre, Am Rabbi Shim ben Laka, Shnei Tamil Chama, Nochen Zalazah Ba'alacha. If you have two Tamil Chama that learn nicely together, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makshav Len, Shneimar Oz Nidbru Yirei Hashem. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will listen to them. Vein Dibro Len Nachas, and Dibro means Nachas. Shneimar Yad Baramim Tachtenu. So you see that it's a sense of humility where you speak nicely. Ma'avil Choshve Shmo. Am Rabbi Yami Afilu Chishev Lasos Mitzvah Venenas Lo Asa'a Malo V'Kasuv Kilu Asa'a. Even if he planned a Nuga Mitzvah, but something happened and he was unable to do it, the pasuk considers it as if he did it. Another drasha. Am Rav Chinah Bar Yidi Kalosa Mitzvah Kama Amara. Anyone who does a mitzvah with all of its details, the way it was meant to be done, Ein Mevas. He's not going to receive bad news. When you do a mitzvah, you're not going to know from bad. Even if Hashem makes a gzera, someone who does a mitzvah kima amara has the ability to be mevatel gzeras of Hashem. Right after that, it says that a shomer mitzvah is able to say what's going to happen. You have two Talmid Chachamim that listen carefully to each other and try to understand each other's points. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shomea L'Kol, and Hashem will listen to their voice. Shemar HaYosheves Beganim Chaverim Makshivim L'Kol Echashmieni V'Yemeinos and Kain, and if they don't do that, they're not Makshivim Zel Lezeh. Gormel L'Shechina Shemestalekes Miyisrael Shemar Perach Dodi Udmei, that the Shechina is going to abandon Klal Yisrael on their account. Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Mishim Malakish Shnei Talmid Chachamim HaMadgilim Zel Lezeh Ba'alacha. Two Talmid Chachamim that gather together to learn and to help each other understand the learning, because they don't have, the Rashi points out, they don't have a Rebbe to help them understand the learning, so they work with each other to help them to help each other understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ahavan, Hashem loves that. Shenemar V'diglo Alai Ahava Amar Rava V'hui Diyadi Tzursa D'Shmeita. That's only if they know the basic tzura of the learning, meaning they learned, they had some basic knowledge from the Rebbeim. If you just pick up a book and you have no Masora from Rebbeim whatsoever of how to learn, so then it's going to be a disaster. Then they're going to get everything wrong. You have to have a basic masorah of the tzura of learning, and then you work on it together with the charusa. And that's only valuable, meaning that's only the appropriate path to take if there is no Rebbe to learn from. But if there's a Rebbe to learn from, from, then one should go and try to learn from Rebbe throughout their life. One should always have a Rebbe. My friend and colleague, Rabbi Eitan Feiner, always talks about no matter who you are, no matter where you are in life, you need to always have a Rebbe to go back to. He always says that Rabbi Berkowitz is his guy no matter what. It doesn't matter what kind of a goon. I just realized Dr. Feiner's here, so a little nachas. So no matter how big of a genius and how big of a Talmud Chacham, a person always has to have a Rebbe that they go back to. That someone who lends money is greater than someone who does tzedakah umatil b'kis. Umatil b'kis yosu mikulan. And if he makes an investment with an ani to be able to give him a job, be able to give him something to do, so then that's greater than everything. Meaning that's the highest form of tzedakah, that you're going to provide some capital investment, and then you set the ani up with a business to run so you can make an honest living. That's the best. Im tamal chacham nokim v'noter kenachashu chagreu al masnecha. If you have a tamal chacham that's always looking to get back at people, so attach yourself to him, because ultimately you're going to enjoy his learning. I mean, if he's a very sharp personality, but if he's Nama Aretz, chassid, even if he's a chassid, al tada b'shchunaso. Meaning, one might think that if someone rubs you the wrong way, so stay away from him. But if he's a Talmud Chacham, that can cover for a lot of what might be rubbing you the wrong way, and you'll see ultimately you're going to get hanah from that relationship. And amaratzus is a very terrible thing, even if the person seems like a chassid. Amar Rav Kana, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, Varmila, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, Varmila, Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, Kolam Agadal Kelev Ra B'toch Beiso, Menei Chesed B'toch Beiso. Anyone who raises a Kelev Ra in his house is removing Chesed from his house. Why is he removing Chesed? Because no one's going to want to come to his house. So the Aniyim aren't going to come, the guests aren't going to come, everyone's going to be afraid to come to his house because he's got this Kelev Ra B'toch Beiso. There are those that have the gear so kelev betoch beso. The Marsha says that the chiddush is that it's even if it's a kelev she'enora. Some people are afraid of dogs, even if it's not a wild and vicious dog, and therefore he's monea chesed mi beso shenemar, because the pasuk says lemas mareu chesed, that lemas is a remes to a kelev shekein b'loshin yavanus karin la kelev lamas, because in Greek they call a kelev a lamas. Rav Nachman Yitzchok Amar af porig menu yirashemayim shenemar v'yirashakaya azov, that he's ridding himself of Yerushalayim, because the pasuk says that of Yerushalayim Yazov, the same pasuk. The Ben Yoyada explains that this is based on the idea that the Gemara talks about at the very end of Maseches Kiddushin, that hasapanim rubam chasidim, that the sailors are mostly chasidim because they realize they're at the mercy of the Lord. They realize that the one storm at sea and they're finished. So when you realize that you have no power and you have no sense of bitachon in your own power, only in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's the greatest level of chasidim that a person can have. So sometimes a person has a watchdog, he thinks, oh, I'm safe, because my dog is going to protect me. So when a person has no sense of safety, no sense of security, no sense of what, in fact, of his own capacity, his own ability to protect himself, so that ultimately leads to the greatest chasidus. Hayi itzadai lelahu based on the meifa. A woman once went to somebody else's house to bake. Not everyone had an oven, so she went and rented out an oven in somebody else's home. Navach bakalba, and that home, they had a dog, and the dog started barking at her. Issachar Vlada, and she miscarried from the fright of the dog barking at her. And right after the dog barked at her, Amar la Mari Debeis, so the Balabas said to her, Lo titchali dishkili nive. Don't worry, don't be afraid. I took out its teeth. The dog has been defanged, so it can't hurt you. Nothing could happen to you. Ushkilin tufrei, and I took out its fingernails also. It's not able to even scratch you, so it can't claw you. It can't bite you. So Amar la, she said, Shkula tivusech v'shad yachizrei. You could take your nice words that you're saying now and throw it in the garbage. Kavar nad vlad. I already lost the baby. Meaning that even if it's not in fact a dangerous dog, people who are afraid of dogs don't know that. And when they hear a dog bark, it still causes great fright, and therefore a person shouldn't have something that frightens other people around their house. The Gemara in Baba Kama has a parallel sukkah. Tetz vavim beis lo sasim damim bevesecha. That you're not allowed to be megadol kelav ra betoch beiso. So that's why the Marsha says that's not the gears over here. Over here, it's not kelav ra, it's kelav, because over there lo sasim damim bevesecha is not to have something that's in fact dangerous. Over here, something that even appears dangerous or that people are going to be frightened from, but it's not a violation of Losasim Damim if the dog is defanged. It's just a violation of not being Monea Chesed Mitoch Beso. Different poskim have different attitudes toward dogs that are not dangerous and that are more cuddly or whatever. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden very against. He writes very, very sharply against dogs. There are other poskim that are not as opposed to. Of course, if you want to own a dog, you also have to deal with the Yisur D'Oraisa of neutering an animal. So, and that even Amir al-Aqam on Isser doesn't work. So you have to figure out how to get around all of the surim with dog ownership. The pasuk doesn't seem to make sense. It starts off by saying that a person should be should take pride and joy in his youthfulness and follow Mara Einav, and then it warns him that he's gonna face din for this. So what's going on? So Adkan, until the phrase Vidaki al kol eila divrei yetzar hara. That's the yetzar hara talking. Mikan ve'elach divrei yetzar tov. And after that, when the pasuk warns him that he's going to be also litein asadin, that's the yetzar tov. Rish Lakish Amar differently. Adkan le divrei Torah. When it says take joy in your youth and your vigor and your that's talking about divrei Torah. Doesn't mean go out and party. It means learn Torah with a lot of bran. Mikan ve'elach lemaisim tov. And after that, it's about mitzvah. So the pasuk is saying, learn very well with simcha, with tov levav, and understanding kfiros einecha, and know that all that you learned sof chalitei nesadin. If you don't fulfill that which you learned, meaning the sof chalitei nesadin is learning's not enough. You then have to put it into action, and if you don't put that learning into action, if it's not lilmod al manas lasos, and there's no asiya that comes out from that learning, then there's going to be din for the lack of action in that. That emanates from that learning. Biris tahora. So, okay, back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that biris is something that's tahor, and a woman is allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. Whereas kabbalim are tamei, and she's not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. So I'm going to read the birizu etz ada. Biris is like an armband that she would wear. Masav Rav Yosef, biris tahor, Rav Yosef baba Shabbos, etz ada tamei. So Rav Yosef says, I can't be. Because an armband is actually tamei, so it can't be that we're referring to an etzada. Sachi kamar biris tachas etzada. A biris would be worn on the leg in the same place on the arm that an etzada is worn, but they're not the same thing. Yosef Rav Ravuna Kamed Rabbi, meaning the Atzada is an armband and the Biris is a leg band. Yosef Ravuna Kamed Rabbi Yirmiyah, Yosef Rabbi Yirmiyah, Kaminamnim Yosef Ravin Vakamar. They were sitting in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah was dozing off, and Ravin was saying, Ravin Ravuna, when they were sitting in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah, who was falling asleep, they were talking and learning. So Biris Ba'achas Kivalim Bishtaim, and he said, Biris is something that you wear on only one leg, whereas Kivalim are worn on both legs. But otherwise, they're the same. Amalei Rafuna, Ilu Ve'ilu B'Shtayim. Rafuna said, no, both Biris and Kavalim are worn on both legs. U'metil and Shalshel has been named Manasu Kavalim. Biris are the two leg bands that cover the legs or that hold up the socks, the stockings. And kivalim is when you put a chain between them that connects the two biris, that becomes kivalim. V'shalshal shabal mashvil amana. So says Gemara, why would a chain between them turn it into a kli? That prior to that it wasn't mekabel tumah, and now it's mekabel tumah. V'chi temus. So the Gemara tries to answer. Maybe you're going to say, Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Dam Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Am Rav Yochanan, Minayin l'mashmiyah kol b'klei matchos shu tameh. That how do I know that if you have a metal kli that makes noise, that it's tameh? Shnemar called davar asher yavo be'esh afilu dibur b'mashma. That even just a noisemaker is enough for it to be makabel tumah. And maybe that's why it's a metal chain between the two legs, and it makes noise, so everyone's going to know when this woman is coming. Maybe that's why it's makabel tumah. Well, bishlam hasam. Well, when you're talking about a bell on an animal. Animal, that makes sense. Kabbalah l'kala. You need the bell on the animal to identify where the animal is, kavan maisa, and it does what its function is meant to do. Hachamai maisa kavan. But over here, in what way is it helping anybody that the chain is clanking as the woman is walking around? So why would it be that just because she has a chain between her legs, that's going to be make those things that hold up her stockings mekabel tumah? So chinami kavod ma'isa. No, it does serve a function. Dam Rabbi Rechana, Dam Rabbi Yochanan, Mishpacha Achasayis Yerushalayim Shai Pesil Sein Gasos. There was a family in Yerushalayim that had very broad strides when they would walk, and that therefore would cause the women to lose their besulim before getting married. So also then kavalim. So they made these chains, v'itil shal shal zbeneim, to sort of train them to walk with shorter strides. Shaloi b'sil sein gasol, shaloi b'sil sein noshos, and therefore they were able to retain their besulim. So it serves a function for the woman, and therefore it's not considered a... it's considered like a tashmish of a person, and therefore it's mekabel tuma. So itar bar Rabbi Yirmiya. Remember, we said that while this conversation was going on, Rabbi Yirmiya was sleeping. So Rabbi Yirmiya wakes up now. He pops up his head and Amrlu Yasher v'chein Rabbi Yochanan. Ah, Rabbi Yochanan said the same vart. He said the same. He had the same understanding. Kiyos Rav Dimi Amr Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael. He said the name Rabbi Yochanan. Minayin la arikol shushu tame. How do I know that a tiny woven beged is tame mitzitz? We learn it from the tzitz. Was the tzitz a woven beged? Vatanya, tzitz kamin tashel zav. A tzitz is like a golden plate. Verochav shtei etzbos, and it has a width of two etzbos. Umukav meoz and loz, and it goes from one ear to the other. Vekosav lo b'shtei shitin. Yud hei lemaila. Vekodesh lamed lemata. And there are two rows in it. It says yud and hei above, and kodesh lamed below. V'amar ablaz rabbi yosi, aniri isiv bi'ir romi. I saw it in Rome. Vekosav kodesh Hashem b'shita achas. So that's a question whether you can rely on archaeological evidence. I saw it, he says. I saw the so, and it had it all in one row. So, Kselik Rav Dimon Arda Shalach Luhu Dvarim Shamati Lecham Talos Ein Biyadi. He says, I back out. I changed my mind. Baram Kachamru Kacham Mishum Rabbi Yochanan. What Rabbi Yochanan really said was as follows: Minayin the Tachshit Kol Shushu Tamei Mitzitz. How do I know that a tiny Tachshit is Tamei? I know it from its tzitz. Minayin the Oracle Shushu Tamei Me O Beged. How do I know that a tiny woven piece is Tamei? That's from the phrase O Beged. But in a chinami, you cannot learn about an arig from the tzitz. Okay, we'll stop there at Tanur Rabbanan, and Bez Hashem, again, no shir tomorrow because it's Shabbos, but I'm not sure where we'll pick up on Sunday. Probably wherever I left off on the old daf shir last cycle. So we'll figure that out. Have a great Shabbos, everybody, and we'll see you Sunday.
Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi. Good Shabbos.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Is there any halacha l'maisa
on the dog thing?
I mean, there's a lot of halacha l'maisa.
Person with the dog phobia.